Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent. And you're listening to the HR Power Hour, and today we are talking with Dr. Jackie Freiberg, best-selling author of Nut Southwest Airlines' Crazy Recipe for Business and Personal Success. We're going to be talking today about Noticed, Lead, and Disrupt, Creating a Culture of Innovation. Jackie, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Delighted to be here.
Well, you know, I just saw you up at the HR convention up here in, it'll be at the Samerset Resort on the coast in Rockland, Maine. Beautiful setting, of course, right? Beautiful on the coast of Maine.
Oh, it's absolutely glorious.
Well, you know, it's interesting. You're from San Diego, California, correct?
I am, but I grew up in New Hampshire, so I'm familiar with New England.
I did not know you grew up in New Hampshire, and I have to ask, where in New Hampshire?
Hampton, New Hampshire, right? Talk about the coast.
I know it very well. Hampton Beach, used to cruise along there with the muscle car, but let's not digress from our HR topic today.
No, please don't.
That's just one of those funny things. It's where it is. I know it well. I know it well. So anyways, we're talking about a topic you brought up at the convention about Notice, Lead, and Disrupt, Creating a Culture of Innovation. Can you give an overview to the audience a little bit today about what this is going to be about, and then we'll get into the nuts and bolts of it all?
Yeah, absolutely. I think innovation has become the business obsession lately. And although it's a business obsession, what we've discovered is that everybody knows they need to do it. But if you're really gut-wrenchingly honest in most businesses, a lot of people will admit that they are slow adopters. And so the big question is although we know it's mandatory for our success today and in the long-term future, what is it that we can do within our organizations in all kinds of places and spaces to drive innovation? And does that mean that innovation has to occur in a so-called innovation center? Do we have to, you know, remove people from on-site, put them off-site so they can think more clearly and come up with some creative game-changing ideas? And I really like to talk to HR professionals in particular because I believe that they are change agents within their organizations. I like to talk to them about what they can do to create a culture of innovation where everybody within the organization chooses to own innovation so that, you know, next month, next week, you can actually say, we're not slow adopters. We're trying to make change in our own pockets of influence.
Well, you know, it's interesting you said, and, you know, I heard you speak about this, but you're absolutely right. There are companies that say, we're going to create a committee to have change.
Yeah.
We're going to have a committee to innovate.
Right.
In fact, the problem, as we all know, is that there could be changes at any possible little level that can make a huge difference in the organization.
Exactly. And I think that's what we have to all keep in mind. Innovation, as I said a few moments ago, and I'm going to say it a lot throughout our interview today, and I said it in Maine at the convention, innovation is everyone's job. And you said it really well in saying it's not about creating a committee. And I think we've seen this if we look back in time over history of the big movements within organizations. Remember when total quality management was the buzz?
Yeah, I remember.
And then
that,
it became reengineering that was the buzz. And then it became, leadership or excellence. And what tends to happen is when we come up with programs like total quality management, the executive team will say, you know what? We believe it. We are committed to this, and you know what? We're going to do it. And so they go into the organization, and they go to the quality guy. And typically back then, it was the quality guy. They'd go to that team, and they'd say, okay, you guys go do quality, and good luck. But we're committed to it. And I don't think that's what innovation is. I don't think that's what quality is. I think what we have to do as a leadership team is we have to commit to innovation. But if you look at the most innovative companies in the world today, what you will find is the executives do more than commit to it. They actually spend time rolling up their sleeves and doing something to get involved in it as well. So in order for innovation to become deeply rooted in any organization, large, medium, small, for-profit, not-for-profit, we have to have senior leaders who are committed and a big capital A, capital N, capital D, and involved in it. Not every day, not all the time, but they have to at least be in it enough to understand what people are going through, to feel issues that are challenges for innovation, not always just to fix it.
When you're talking about getting involved, you know, a lot of times senior leaders will say, well, that's what I have the team for. Look, I'm dealing with a strategy here, okay? I'm you know, or in fairness to some of the CEOs who are truly the salespeople of the organization, right? They are. They're out there promoting. They're doing what they have to do to the shareholders and to the board, or at the small level, it's probably the owner himself that is out there promoting. I have other things to do that can be taken care of for me, but that's not really the case, is it?
No, not really, because it's not about being involved all day, every day. It's about finding time, and I'm going to say it boldly, when it's least convenient sometimes for the executives to be involved, the busiest time, the most challenging place in the journey on an innovation initiative where the executives might be able to come in, roll up their sleeves, and again, feel it with the individuals, be side by side in a place that's uncomfortable because no one has any of the answers. But what happens is, in order to affect change in any organization today, we know it's not about the expert, the subject matter expert. Because of the challenges that we're up against, we find that the most success that we can have in dealing with and overcoming challenges that seem impossible is to get a collection of brilliance to attack those challenges. That's not one person, but that's a variety of perspectives. That's where the collection of brilliance comes to play. So what can an executive or what can a team of senior leaders who think that they are the strategic team, not the tactical team, do? Well, they can come in and work side by side or at least have a meeting side by side with the tactical people. And then when you blend strategic perspective and tactical perspectives, sometimes that's when you lift off the blinders and you have a brand new approach.
Well, you know, it's interesting. One of the things that I know a couple of companies that we have worked with up here in the Northeast have actually had situations where they've taken executives, and to their credit, and actually put them in the roles of the key contributors. And really had them do that for, let's be honest, 15, 20 minutes, an hour, whatever it may be. So they could at least feel and experience what that was. It's kind of like the old model of taking a retail executive and put him on the sales floor and see if he can sell something. Typically not as effectively as the salesperson, right? It's just the way it is. But they get a real understanding of what it is. And then they are more apt to be open to the change in innovation that that person brings in front of it. Do you see that happening in a bigger way, or do you see that as part of a strategy for it?
I think it should be happening in a bigger way. I think it should be a strategy. I think the organizations that are innovation leaders are deploying that as a strategy. And, you know, there's all kinds of different, terms or titles that you could use to describe that. I know in our work with Southwest Airlines, before innovation was cool, you know, they were doing innovative approaches to affecting change. The organization is an organization that had said from day one, I mean, this is 42 years of history where Southwest Airlines has been able to be profitable in an industry that's very, very difficult to operate in, right? And the only reason why they can do that is because they've said to people from the very beginning, listen, if you want to come to work for our company, what you need to know is you will never, ever have all the resources you think you need to get the job done. So what does that mean? That means that when you come to work for this company, you have to find ways to drive costs out and enhance efficiencies. In essence, those are innovations, right? They just weren't using that language. So they said, if you're up for that challenge, then what you need to know is driving costs out and enhancing efficiencies in the spirit of doing that, you also can't compromise service, you can't compromise schedule, you can't compromise safety or security. Can't do any of those things. But if you're up for the challenge, then by all means, we want you.
Sold!
Yeah, but what happens is you get people to take on this perspective of, I have no idea what it's going to take to turn a plane in 10 minutes, now maybe 20. But if everybody who has a variety of different perspectives can be under the belly of the airplane looking up and saying, okay, our challenge is to turn this plane in, you know, less than 20 minutes, how do we do it? If you have just one team that looks at the belly of the airplane all day long and does it every day, you know, for weeks at a time, they're blinded to the opportunities before them. What if we bring someone else in who has a different perspective and might say, hey, have you thought about? So we have to get people to, as Southwest calls it, walk a mile in the shoes of other people that are in other functional areas so that we might be able to suggest some opportunities to them that they might not be able to see clearly because the blinders are locked and loaded.
Yeah, and I don't, you know, the point on that, which is so critical, is the fact that it's not that the people that have done it necessarily every day are doing anything wrong. It's just you can't see what you do repeatedly, the changes that are needed. You can't. It's just, unless you are that special person who is, you know, incredibly detail focused every single day, it's just not the normal person that can do that every day.
Well, and you mentioned that one of the key points that I discussed in Maine was notice, and that's exactly what I'm talking about. In order to create pockets of innovation, we have to walk into our day with a desire and a willingness to notice the opportunities before us. But here's the big but, and you just mentioned it. The routine of our life, and if we're honest, most of us love routine. The routine of our life can blind us to the opportunities before us. So it's not like the people, the team that's working the tarmac, doesn't want to innovate. It's just they're locked into a routine. That's what they've been trained to do. That's what they do really well. And so if we can pinch them, if we can shake them out of that routine for just a half a day to look at other ways to service the aircraft and turn the aircraft, maybe, just maybe, then they'll step out of the routine and see another way, you know, to approach it.
So we're talking about noticing things and noticing details. And I think, you know, when you're talking executives, they sometimes, especially in larger companies, get into what we call the glass or ivory tower, right? And so they disconnect themselves from the lower level or the workers or the line workers, whatever that may be. And I think that's where this problem occurs, where they just are perceived, and rightfully so at times, disconnected from the day-to-day work that goes on. But they can't really make effective decisions when they don't know about the day-to-day work and the challenges that are out there, can they?
Right, not at all. And, you know, and honestly, I think that's just a common mistake because we all have our own objectives and our own goals and our own, you know, the space within which we need to make our own professional contributions to the business. And so that it naturally happens. But I think the executives that are the most effective and most powerful and will be able to facilitate and accelerate a culture of innovation within their businesses are those are the executives where she's going to walk down, you know, to the front line and she's going to say, I want to issue a challenge to all of you. And, you know, I want, let's issue a 30-day challenge on who can come up with, you know, the most cost savings efficiency, the most, you know, quality enhancing sufficiency, the most, you know, service providing efficiency. Let's create a 30-day challenge, and I want you to tell me what you're excited about. And that doesn't have to take all day. That's a half a day initiative. But it shows that he or she who sits in the C-suite is willing to walk around and not fix anything, but as I said a few moments ago, be there in a time and in a frame, a context where, you know, people are busy and they're doing their best to service and to produce and to meet the needs of all the colleagues and all the clients and customers that they're serving.
You're listening to the HR Power Hour, and we're talking to Dr. Jackie Freiberg, best-selling author of Nuts. And we will be right back on News Talk WLOB. If you're responsible for hiring and firing, you know it can be like a roulette wheel. If your new hire turns out to be a bad hire, well, all you've lost is time and money. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Don't gamble with your hiring. We have a better solution. We've helped hundreds of companies like yours find the right talent, and we guarantee it. Career Management Associates delivers people that fit. Go to cmacareer.com.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
They say it's never too late to be what you might have been. So if you want to turn your passion into your profession, AARP can help you find new opportunities that take advantage of Work Reimagined, a program that leverages the power of LinkedIn. AARP also provides access to tools, resources, and information that can help you at every step. Just a few of the ways AARP helps turn your goals and dreams into real possibilities.
AARP, real possibilities.
Go to aarp.org/possibilities to find tools and guidance.
Real Possibilities is a trademark of AARP.
You might hear some advice from your friends on choosing a health plan.
Darling, you must choose the gold healthcare plan.
Not the silver plan. Too much trouble. Do they have a stainless steel plan?
I like bronze, like my tan.
Are sunburns covered? Instead, take advice from a licensed agent from Northern Insurance Group. Meet face-to-face with a local healthcare exchange professional. Call Northern Insurance Group today. We have the resources to make sure you make the right choice.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com. And today we have the great privilege of talking with Jackie Freiberg, best-selling author of Nuts, Southwest Airlines' crazy recipe for business and personal success. It also has a sequel to Guts, Boom, and Nanovation. Where did you come up with these names? I just have to ask that question.
I know, kind of crazy, huh? Those one-word titles. Well, it hasn't been easy. But, you know, it's sort of a process of elimination more than it is a, aha, that's it. So I think I would retitle some of the books if I had the chance to do it, but you just can't do that once it's out there.
Yeah, no, probably not a good idea. Right?
No.
Probably not a good idea. Amazon would probably not like that very much.
That's right.
But that's okay. That's all right. Well, we're talking today about notice, lead, and disrupt. Creating a culture of innovation. We talked a little bit in the first segment about notice, and so let's talk about the second, lead. Tell me about that.
Well, I think leadership is a concept that goes hand in hand with innovation. And as I said, innovation needs to be everyone's job. It shouldn't be secluded to an innovation center or a place where people are remote and off-site. And I think we have to rethink leadership as well. I think, you know, when we were operating in an industrial day and space where, you know, we really needed to have a manager who was, you know, gifted at, you know, having a panoramic and being able to tell people what to do, how to do it, when to do it, and maybe if you were an employee on the line, why it should be done. That was sort of the industrial paradigm of leadership. And I think we're now in a place where we really have to start thinking about some of the challenges that we are up against and really require leadership. I think we have to realize that leadership isn't about a person who sits at the top of a corporate hierarchy or a team who sits in the C-suite. I think leadership, again, like innovation, is everyone's job. We need to find a way in our organizations to create a culture where people have the freedom to lead wherever they are planted. And leadership today is more about locking arms with people who have a diverse set of talents. And together, you see a challenge, you see something that might appear to be impossible to solve, or maybe it's just how in the world are we going to get over that or accomplish that or come up with a solution to that. I think instead of feeling like you, an individual, have to solve it, we have to start looking around and saying, what talent do you have, Dave? What talent do you have, Jackie? What talent do you have, Sue and Patty and John and Peter? And we look at those talents and we say, if we can all lock arms and work towards solving that challenge or creating a game-changing innovation together, you're so much more likely to be able to affect positive, disruptive change that's going to impact your organization in a positive way. So leadership isn't one person. Leadership is a choice that you make every day, and leadership is about engaging in relationships that are connected because people in them want to affect substantial long-term change.
So we're talking about leadership, and one of the things that a lot of individuals feel is like, I can't necessarily, you know, bring this forward because it's a challenge or a change, and I'm a little concerned about repercussions if I really make it, and it's going to maybe cost some money at the first to make it better. Or I don't know if I can talk to my boss about these things. Mm-hmm. How does senior leadership, at least from your perspective, really make a culture shift or culture change to show that they really want to hear what's going on? Because you know as well as I do that a company, once they've set an established culture, it's hard to make that change, but it is critical to do so.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. In some cases, depending upon the size of the organization and the history of the organization and the approach that they've taken to, you know, creating a culture, sometimes it's like trying to turn around the Titanic, you know, because it's just, it's so staid and so stuck in, you know, kind of an old paradigm. It's tough to do. It takes a long time to transform culture, and I think any organization that wants to be successful for the future and for the long term, they have to realize that we're at an epidemic place right now in the United States and actually even globally. If you look at what Gallup tells us about employee engagement statistics, it's disheartening, it's unraveling to me. 70% of people who come to work today in the United States are not engaged. I think that's tragic. What does that mean? That means that these are people who physically show up, but in many cases, they are psychologically, emotionally, intellectually checked out. So their performance levels are, when you're intellectually, you know, emotionally and psychologically checked out, your performance levels are inconsistent. Your contributions are, you know, kind of according to the, you know, the flow of your moods. And part of what's going on is people don't feel like they have the freedom to add value. People don't feel like when they offer up an idea, the idea is even listened to or appreciated or valued, or nothing happens to it. The ideas fall flat or they fall into this black hole. Actually, the data will tell us that 52% of employees who come to work today are frustrated because when they offer up ideas, innovative, creative, new ideas to things, nothing happens with their ideas. No one does anything with them. So I think the leaders, the senior teams who say, I want to re-engage my people. I really do want an organization where people come to work and they're fully engaged, alive, and creative. I want to create that kind of a place. I'm going to tell you, it won't happen overnight, but there are some things that you can do. And, you know, Gallup has that Q12. I love what Gallup does. I applaud their work. I am a huge fan. But if you don't have the financial resources to bring in Gallup to do a Q12 assessment, look at what their questions are, and then say to yourself as a senior leadership team, say to yourself as an HR team, how can we take the, if there's 12 questions on the Gallup instrument, what are the top four for us right now, and how can we come up with some sort of a corporate challenge for the first 3 months to really try and turn up the volume in those four or five areas?
Well, you know, I think this goes back to when you're talking about any type of survey or any type of information or anything that is brought, even if it's just a, even if you don't have a survey, even if just an employee walks up to a manager, a leader, an executive and says, can I bring up a point of issue? You know, this is not working right. This is something that really could make a difference. This is a change. And it's either blown off or it's not taken care of or taken seriously. Or if it is, we'll change the culture of the organization irreparably at that point.
Yes. And I'll tell you a very, very specific example of what an executive team could do. I was just in Jamaica at an event for Lens Crafters. Hip, hot, cool. They are just a happening group of people. And they had all of their Diamond Award recipients. So these are the people that have provided the best service in every Lens Crafter, you know, out there. And 100 of these people are in this room, and they had all of their executive VPs, their EVPs, and then their zone VPs, so their ZVPs, on a stage. And every there were probably 12 of them on the stage, and they each individually shared the two big projects that they, in their functional area, were working on. And then right after they did that, they said, now, we want each of these EVPs and ZVPs to pose a question that you want insight from or a concern that you want to hear from these diamond service providers. And they went down the line for the entire morning and did that. And each zone VP and EVP got the chance to respond to those questions. And it was remarkable in terms of, okay, in the spirit of transparency, I'm going to answer this in this way, and I'm going to tell you what we're working on. And if they couldn't answer the question, they said, you know what, we've got, you know, all day by the pool this afternoon. Come back and meet me, and let's exchange connections, and I will get an answer for you. If you want to talk about transparency, vulnerability, the willingness to get involved and engaged, and that, in my mind, is a very clear example of leadership, because it wasn't the senior team thinking that they had it all wired. It was the senior executives looking back at their stars and saying, what can we do better? What questions do you have? What do we need to do to help you and pave the way for you?
You're talking about creating pockets of innovation, right? Areas where anybody feels comfortable working and walking up to somebody and really trying to make a difference. I mean, I think you're right in saying that if you look at Southwest, there's a great example, right? But that was really founded that way.
Right.
Whereas if you were trying to change, for example, not saying they do or don't, Boeing, which has been around a long time, or IBM, which has been around a long time, that would be a much different way of doing it. Or if it was a small company that's been around for three generations and they're trying to make a change for 50 employees, it's just a little harder that way, but it can happen. It just takes time.
I think it can happen. I think it will absolutely take time. Southwest Airlines didn't achieve its notable, you know, its icon status in being, you know, the place for culture and innovation and service until about 15 years into that business. And I don't say 15 as the magical number, but I'm working with some organizations right now that are 5 years into a culture transformation. And to be, you know, really honest, you know, I've got senior leaders. I got the president looking at me going, 5 years? Are you kidding? And we're up against this challenge. This still isn't right. But you have to say, oftentimes during a culture transformation, it's going to get rough before it gets better, because you're having to weed out a lot of the toxic stuff, a lot of the bad habits. And we know from personal journeys of transformation and change and, you know, kicking bad habits, oftentimes it gets tough before it gets better. But in the spirit of competing for the long term, the phrase is, you innovate now or you perish not too long from now.
We're talking with Jackie Freiberg. She's the best-selling author of Nuts. And you're listening to the HR Power Hour, and we'll be right back on News Talk WLOB. Running a company can feel like you're surrounded. A key person quits. A big project presents itself. You need good people fast. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Our contract staffing service will fill a position or find the right talent for a short-term project.
Hundreds of companies choose us because we deliver people that fit. Career Management Associates, your contract staffing solution. Go to cmacareer.com.
They say it's never too late to be what you might have been. So if you want to turn your passion into your profession, AARP can help you find new opportunities that take advantage of Work Reimagined, a program that leverages the power of LinkedIn. AARP also provides access to tools, resources, and information that can help you at every step. Just a few of the ways AARP helps turn your goals and dreams into real possibilities.
AARP, real possibilities.
Go to aarp.org/possibilities to find tools and guidance.
Real Possibilities is a trademark of AARP.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
You might hear some advice from your friends on choosing a health plan.
Darling, you must choose the gold healthcare plan.
Not the silver plan. Too much trouble. Do they have a stainless steel plan? I like bronze, like my tan. Are sunburns covered? Instead, take advice from a licensed agent from Northern Insurance Group. Meet face-to-face with a local healthcare exchange professional. Call Northern Insurance Group today. We have the resources to make sure you make the right choice.
And you're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com. Our sponsors for today's show, AARP, taking on issues that matter. Northern Insurance Group, meeting your business, commercial, and personal insurance needs. Sheehan Finney Bass & Green, innovative approaches and practical solutions. And the law firm of Jackson Lewis, all we do is work. And we are talking today with Dr. Jackie Freiberg, best-selling author of Nuts, Southwest Airlines' Crazy Recipe for Business and Personal Success. Jackie, again, I want to thank you for being on the show today.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you.
You know, we've been talking about creating a culture of innovation. Notice, lead, and disrupt. In the last two segments, we talked a lot about notice. We talked a lot about lead. But disrupt, that's a very interesting word. And to most business people and HR people, they're like, I get enough disruption in my day. The last thing on this planet I want to do is cause more disruption in the workplace.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, and I'm guilty. I've actually had a client or two say, I don't want to use the word disrupt because that really does have a negative connotation in our world and in our organization. And so let's just change it right now. When you think of disrupt, really what I'm trying to communicate to people is we need to innovate. So in order to innovate, though, we need to notice, we need to lead, as we've talked about in the previous two segments. But in innovation, what does it really take? Once you notice, lift off the blinders, you see an opportunity before you, and then you lock arms with other talented people who bring a variety of perspective and skills to the game, you lock arms to lead, then how do you ultimately create innovations or pockets of innovation within your organization? And I will tell you that requires people, whether you are an associate, or you are in the C-suite, an executive, it requires us to be comfortable being uncomfortable. We have to realize that the comfort of life, again, can sometimes be limiting to us. And so being okay with being uncomfortable can sometimes lead to some really cool innovations.
When you've been thinking about some of the organizations you work with, and look, any change is disruption, right? Let's be real about that. But
right.
Do you have an example that you could provide of, you know, changes that really have made a cultural shift and difference in an organization? And then At the end of the day, the bottom line results to an organization are what the CEO, the CFO,
right.
and the C-suite worry about. I mean, let's talk about that type of connection between the two.
Yeah, absolutely. There's nothing like an example to kind of bring the concept to life, right? Uncomfortable in order to affect innovation, notice and lead. So all those things connected. Here's a great example. So a few years ago, actually way more than a few years ago. So this is 1997. The director of employee communications at Southwest Airlines, Tonda Montague, knew that they had been, encouraging people in all levels of the company to drive costs out, to innovate. And yet she thought, you know, not everybody in our organization really understands where the revenues come from and where all the costs are coming from either. And so she went to their current chairman, president, CEO, Gary Kelly. He is the president today, but back then he was the CFO. She went to Gary and she said, Gary, and this is a great example of notice and lead. She said, I'm noticing that not everybody in this organization understands where our costs are and where our, you know, income's coming from. And he said, are you kidding? We do a P&L every year and, you know, it's pretty self-explanatory. And she said, yeah, but believe it or not, a lot of people don't read that. And, you know, Gary, because he's in that comfortable space, he's a numbers guy, he thinks in terms of numbers. He says, really? I can't believe that people don't read that. And she said, you know what I think we should do? She's a communications person, more visual, not numbers oriented. She said, let's create a P&L that everybody can understand. Even if you only have a high school education, anybody could understand that P&L, even if you hate numbers. Let's put icons on it. Let's put, you know, definitions of what these costs are, where they're coming from, where these revenue streams are coming from. And he said, are you kidding me? That could compromise the integrity of that document, you know? She said, no, trust me on this. So two people, very different talents and skill sets. They come together and lead together collectively, and they created a disruption or an innovation in the company. They created a P&L that anybody in that organization can read. And if you have a copy of that Nuts book, it's probably in the book. It's a visual to look at, but it tells you where the costs are coming from, where the revenue streams are. And so how does it play out to create even more change and innovations? Well, you got a brand new flight attendant who's looking at that P&L and going, I don't know what I can do. I'm just working the cabin of the airplane. I know I can kind of enhance service and create an experience, but how do I drive costs out? You know, everything that I have to work with here is given to me. It's chosen and, you know, purchased by someone else. And she's walking up and down the cabin of the airplane and realizes she's got a Southwest Airlines trash bag that has a Southwest Airlines logo on it. And she's thinking, you know, I've only been with the company for a month or so, and I know that everybody flying on this airplane knows they're on Southwest. I wonder why we need logos on our trash bags, and I wonder how much it costs us to do that. She asks all of the team on the flight, what's the cost? They don't know. She asks the gate agents. They don't know. She asks someone locally, and they don't know. So she has the guts to call Colleen Barrett, who just recently retired, is the highest-ranking female executive in the airline industry. She's the queen of Southwest culture. She said, Colleen, I'm relatively new to the company. I just had this idea. Why do we put logos on it? What does it cost us? Do you know? Colleen doesn't know, but she finds out. It costs Southwest Airlines $350,000 a year to put logos on their trash bags. They don't have logos on their trash bags. That's a team of individuals, a communication specialist, partners with a CFO. They create a game-changing document that then gets into the heart and mind of an employee who's working the front line, and she creates a $350,000 savings. That's an innovation.
And what a great example of a simple thing, right? I mean, the logo's inside the bin. Nobody sees it. Nobody
and
cares.
HR professionals have control of employee communications documents. Are they simple? Are they collaborative? Are they conversational?
Well, there's an example of you asked the question, and I think it was key in your example. What do people really know in the organization? What lingo does someone who's been in the organization for a long time, compared to somebody who just joins the organization, you know, I think to an example of when we bring new people into our organization, and you start talking the lingo, and they look at you, and of course they're new, so they nod their head and they're famous. Oh, get it, understand it completely, no problem, boss. And then, of course, they walk out of the room and go, I've got to go talk to somebody. I have absolutely no idea what the man just said. right? And how much time was wasted? And what is the signal and message when they're trying to lead, right? Lead at that point that, hey, you know, I just can't communicate right now to that person. They've lost me on day one.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I think that's key. It's a key area or element of this. When you're talking about organizations, and I won't use the word disrupt, I'll use innovate, okay? in terms of that, when you're talking about them innovated, how long do you find that that culture takes for individuals to feel comfortable doing it?
Well, that's a super question. I can't answer it. I wish I had a specific, you know, number at the top of my head that was a real, true, hard and fast number, but there just isn't one. It really depends upon the culture that they're in and what has been created up to date. Look, every organization has a culture. And unfortunately, not all of those cultures have been purposeful and strategic. Some of them are sad to say, accidental. So that means, you know, you're a team. You don't even have to be senior leadership, but you're, you know, among the employee pool of whatever rank and file. And you walk in and you go, ah, how in the world did we get like this? And then on the other hand, you've got organizations that are very strategic and very purposeful about their culture. And, you know, some of them started that way from day one. If you look at what's going on in Silicon Valley, you know, many of those organizations started purposefully by creating cultures of freedom to innovate, dare to try, those sorts of things. Southwest Airlines started this way, but not all companies have. I don't know if it's going to take your business 10 years to change. I don't know if it's going to take, you know, 2 years to change. It really depends on the size. It depends on the people. It depends on the leadership team. But I think part of trying to change and affect a culture where people have the freedom to advance their ideas so that they can notice, lead, and innovate is about creating a culture where people have the freedom to make mistakes. And if they make mistakes, they learn from those mistakes, and then the culture says, let go of it, and then move on. But don't make the same mistake again.
We're talking with Dr. Jackie Freiberg, best-selling author of Nuts. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB, and we will be right back.
If you're responsible for hiring and firing, you know it can be like a roulette wheel. If your new hire turns out to be a bad hire, well, all you've lost is time and money. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Don't gamble with your hiring. We have a better solution. We've helped hundreds of companies like yours find the right talent, and we guarantee it. Career Management Associates delivers people that fit. Go to cmacareer.com.
They say it's never too late to be what you might have been. So if you want to turn your passion into your profession, AARP can help you find new opportunities that take advantage of Work Reimagined, a program that leverages the power of LinkedIn. AARP also provides access to tools, resources, and information that can help you at every step. Just a few of the ways AARP helps turn your goals and dreams into real possibilities.
AARP, real possibilities.
Go to aarp.org/possibilities to find tools and guidance.
Real Possibilities is a trademark of AARP.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
You might hear some advice from your friends on choosing a health plan. Darling, you must choose the gold healthcare plan. Not the silver plan. Too much trouble. Do they have a stainless steel plan? I like bronze, like my tan. Are sunburns covered? Instead, take advice from a licensed agent from Northern Insurance Group. Meet face-to-face with a local healthcare exchange professional. Call Northern Insurance Group today. We have the resources to make sure you make the right choice.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com. And today we've had a great conversation with Dr. Jackie Freiberg. She's the best-selling author of Nuts, Southwest Airlines' Crazy Recipe for Business and Personal Success, its sequel Guts, Boom, and Nanovation. And you should all go right now to Amazon.com and buy them. Right? Isn't that what you think, Jackie?
That'd be great.
That'd
Thank
be
you.
Great. No problem at all. We've been talking about notice, lead, and disrupt, creating a culture of innovation. And what I'd like to do in this last segment is just for the beginning part, can you wrap up maybe some three solid takeaway tips for listeners to say, these are the three things which will really help me in making this happen in my organization?
Yeah, absolutely. I think let's just go back to those three handles that we can hold on to, notice, lead, and innovate, right? How do you notice? Well, I think one of the ways for you to notice and start to shake up your routine so you can see through it for the opportunities is to say, what is the routine of my day? How do I start my day? How do I typically walk into my day? And do something purposeful and intentional to change that. So maybe it's saying, okay, one of the things that I want to do is I want to work on stepping out of my comfort zone this week. So challenge yourself to step out of your comfort zone and step into the places and the spaces within your organization where you can go in not to fix things but to feel things and get to know people and build relationships with people. That's how you're going to notice what's going on within the organization and where the opportunities are. That's one. Notice. What about lead? I think on leadership, I think we have to realize that the best gift we can give to our people as titled leaders or just simply as influence leaders within an organization, so not just our people but our teams, our colleagues, is to say to people, you know, what should I start doing, what should I stop doing, and what should I continue doing as an influence leader within this organization. And that's going to people who you trust and who believe in you, and this is critical, want to draw the best out of you, because those are the people that are going to give you good feedback. So that's about leadership. And then innovation, I think, is about going to a team of individuals, a collection of talent, and saying, you know what we ought to do here is we ought to create a dare-to-try culture. If we created a dare-to-try culture where we challenged people in the next 30 days to try to come up with some sort of change, some sort of enhanced efficiency, some sort of service initiative. And don't ask people to do it alone, but ask people to create a team where people could rise to that challenge and perhaps accomplish something that's going to make a valuable contribution to the organization. So notice, you know, commit to something that you're going to change and shake up. Lead, ask people around you, what are you going to stop, what should you start, and what should you continue doing as a leader, and then finally create a 30-day challenge that will cause people to dare to try to affect some innovation or change.
Those are great tips, Jackie. And, you know, I got to tell you, obviously, I saw you at the main HR convention. You did a great keynote address. How'd you get into speaking? How'd you get into being an author? Tell me a little bit about the background on that.
Well, we both, my husband and I, are co-authors on all of our books, and both of us had the blessing of writing dissertations on Southwest Airlines, different aspects of the company. But once we had completed our dissertations, we both had 4-inch, you know, dissertations sitting on a bookshelf, and we realized no one in their right mind would ever read that stuff. But it was amazing stuff, and it wasn't because we wrote it. It was because it was about an organization that was filled with leaders at all levels that were really engaged in trying to make the world that they were living and operating in better. And so we said, we need to take this to from dissertations to popular press. And, you know, with Southwest success, we wrote a book that became an international bestseller, and that launched us into the speaking profession because people wanted to know their secret. And from there, the rest is history.
No, that's awesome. I mean, it's unusual you hear about a husband and wife team that does this. That's great. I'm sure there's notice leading and innovation in that as well. So that's
that's
a totally different topic, but funny, not going to lie, funny.
Yeah.
No, I think that's great. So you're going to be speaking across the country. Do you have some things coming up that you'd like to share with the audience?
Yeah, I just actually came back from Turkey. We just did an event. My husband and I did an event together right outside of Istanbul, and we spoke to a group of automotive exporters. And Turkey is a country that is truly trying to become a global leader in terms of exporting. So it was just amazing to be in that country and be rubbing shoulders with people who are hungry for tools and strategies on what it means to innovate. So following Turkey, I had the incredible pleasure of being in Maine, and then I went off to Vermont. Following Vermont, I look ahead at my schedule, and it looks like I'm going to be going to Houston, and then I go back to Vermont, where I get the chance to work with one of my very favorite clients, National Life Group, which is also a really great example of an organization that is in the midst of culture transformation. Mehran Asadi and his whole executive team, as well as his entire employee group in Montpelier, Vermont, and in Dallas. This is a group of people who believe that their business, the insurance industry, is really about love and providing protection and those services for people so that they can anticipate living a really healthy, vibrant future. And that's a company that is really doing all the things I talked about. So I'm looking forward to going back and spending time with them in Montpelier and in Dallas.
Well, Jackie, I want to thank you very much for being on the show today. This has been very educational. It's been awesome. Again, I encourage everybody to go to the HR Power Hour website afterwards. You'll have the direct connect to Jackie, and you can also have a link to buy her book. So we'll make sure that's on there as well. Jackie, thank you very much for being on the show today.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB. And now the HR Tip of the Week, sponsored by Northern Insurance Group. Licensed agents in 28 states, business, commercial, and personal. Go to northerninsurancegroup.com. This one's for State of Maine employers. You may already know that Maine law requires employers to report new hires and rehires to the state's new hire database. But did you know that by doing this, you can help reduce unemployment taxes? Last July in 2013, Maine launched an online reporting system that helps employers meet these reporting requirements and aids in preventing improper benefit payments as well as recovers delinquent child support. The new hire information employers in all states report is uploaded into the National New Hire Database. The Maine Department of Labor runs cross-checks of people currently filing for unemployment benefits against the database to ensure people are properly reporting new jobs, wages earned in Maine, and/or other states. By doing so, potential benefit fraud is identified when the amount involved is very small. This reduces improper benefit costs against the Unemployment Insurance Trust Fund and helps keep unemployment tax rates low. And that's your HR Tip of the Week. Sponsored by Northern Insurance Group at northerninsurancegroup.com. Thank you for listening, and catch us every week at 10 a.m. on News Talk WLOB 1310 a.m. or streaming live on WLOBradio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at hrpowerhour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.